I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What?
I'm going to have to explain why the fucking mixer's on a wheeled suitcase.
I don't even know why it is on the wheeled suitcase. It fell off the wheeled suitcase earlier.
Basically, it was
or
on the
last
floor.
Week.
It was on the floor. Because
as far
we haven't
as
had
the
jingles.
Listeners are concerned.
Yeah, right. We haven't had jingles. There's lots of ins and outs. Lots of ins and outs.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Danny Ward.
Hi, everyone.
And it's a guest episode. We've got Sarah Roberts in the house.
Hey.
Hello.
There she is. Sorry, the viewers, listeners are going to be so bored of this, but it's so funny because Danny just started the music, but Sarah obviously hasn't got any headphones. Yeah. So she's all of a sudden, we just stopped talking.
Oh, I thought you were watching a video.
You thought I was watching a video on my
phone. Yeah.
No. That was so rude, wasn't it?
Should I just buy them? I think I'm just going to buy them.
No, you send me the link and I'll buy them. But the annoying thing is, it'll come to my place and
on Amazon, always the same. You can
just say, put your
to
address.
Other people. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but then I'd have to write your address down and that's admin, isn't it? Right. But I will do it. I will do it. I promise. But yeah, sorry, you haven't got any.
Surely you must know his address.
Burford.
He's got keys to the place.
I have got keys. I know how to get here. I'm about to get here.
You're about to say the address.
I was about to say his address, yeah.
I'll bleep that because you never know.
You never know. What were we talking about just before and I said hold fire?
We were talking about vaping and we were also talking about living in the flat.
Yeah, so
can I just, before we begin, what gigs did you guys meet at?
It was
Dulwich Hamlet.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that go?
It was good. It was Alex Haddow's gig.
That's it.
Really nice room.
There was one thing that went a bit weird.
Yeah. Crowd was what I'll say is that the crowd was like very like
conservative?
No, I was gonna say the opposite.
Larry?
No. They were like
Labour Party.
What's the opposite?
Yeah,
do you mean
like,
conservative the small scene?
I meant conservative as in just, well, be it sort of a bit sort of, but they were quite well-to-do.
Yeah,
is that right?
They were like wanting, they felt like good people.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I thought they were. I had a nice time. But
yeah,
they
I had
didn't
a nice time.
Like edgy jokes.
Yeah, there's
jokes.
One actor that did some edgy jokes and they took it really personally. And I've never quite seen anything like it when
I haven't
they
either,
were basically,
we
they were basically.
So I've got to wait 27 minutes now to find out who this is.
Have you ever seen anything interesting like that before?
An act at a university gig got escorted off the premises by security after a student made a complaint about what they'd said.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No names or locations, but
I can't wait for that 25th 5 minutes till we find out.
It's interesting because this was sort of, I guess, there was obviously a point some time ago where you could pretty much say anything at a university, anywhere, and regardless of its taste or acceptability in today's sort of world, you could just get people get away. It's obviously changed.
Especially
I find university gigs some of the hardest.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I've noticed like that they look at each other to make sure they can laugh before they laugh.
100% that.
Yeah.
Like, so there's always a delay because I think it's like, especially if you do like freshers gigs and they don't know each other. So they don't want to
be the one who puts
that they're
head
laughing
above
the wrong thing.
It's similar to a corporate gig where people won't laugh until their boss has laughed. Mm. They're a bit uncomfortable until their colleagues, so they know what they're allowed to laugh.
The other problem I've got with university gigs now is that when I went to university, they weren't even born. So it's like, you know, remember the Spice Girls? not really. It's quite hard to keep up in that sort of sense as well with things that youngsters might care about.
And, do you think that you walk on and they go, I don't want this to this old dude? Because I don't think of you as old, Danny.
No, good. But I haven't done a uni for a while. But I mean, I was getting that sense
also, freshers
10 years
is,
ago, champ.
Really? Freshers is worse, though, because people are so nervous about
it. Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is sit in a comedy club when you're doing
freshers. Yeah, it's quite... I mean, actually, obviously, you know, I'd love to do more freshers gigs, but...
Don't talk yourself out of your way.
But, I mean, it's kind of like going to, the cinema on a first date, isn't it? Because it's like, here's a social thing, but let's not talk to each other.
Yeah, that's... it's awful.
Well, I did it.
Also, no one ever turns up to them.
Well, I did Marjohn's, which we... Remember, we were there on Saturday
for
your
Plymouth.
Tour. Yeah, in Plymouth. And I did the Freshers Week in September. And don't want to big myself up, but I was on at the end. And
what do you call that?
I don't know. Is it last act? By that point, four fifths of the audience had left.
Yeah. So
really.
Yeah. So
I think they heard of me, but
the night hadn't.
Hadn't gone well at all. No.
So no matter how good you were going to do. It's hard. Even if they'd stayed, it's still quite hard to convince them if they hadn't had a nice night.
Also, I guess the ones who probably really enjoyed comedy more were the ones who stayed, so sort of separated the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah, that's how I feel when I lose a follower. When I put up like a bad or like risky meme and then I lose like 10 followers and I'm like, looks like the trash took itself out.
Nice.
But yeah, I did a gig once to a veterinary school. Like veterinary...
Did you put them down or did they put you down?
You have to get used to that, Sarah.
He just did a sound thing.
It was. Oh right.
It's a badumt.
Okay. Are you going to do those for me?
No, it's just whenever I talk.
Okay. They had like one eyed. There was like one eyed cats and like dogs living around with like no like three really? Legs.
Taking
and I was
their
like,
work home
what?
With
I was like, this is so distracting and also like so insane.
What? So is it like their student union?
Yeah.
And they
like
were just the animals were
union
just
union bar.
And the animals were just there.
The animals were all just... Look, they all seemed to
like
have
the
like
best
adopted
gig ever.
Like a hairless guinea pig. And like they all had...
Sounds like they're experimenting.
Yeah. What's like that? Those films that are like... they all have a animal spirit, animal thing, you know?
Animals.
You know, it's like Lara something.
Croft? No.
No. It's not even interesting.
See, this is the thing about... This is what it's like when you're my age.
You don't know who the reference is.
If it was something about a student
union.
You
don't know what she's talking about? Oh, wow. That's embarrassing, Danny.
Philip Pullman.
Oh, this, the reality. No, it's Philip Pullman. It's called this.
Something.
It's called...
Alexa.
Alexa, what's the name of the Philip Pullman books?
Some books by Philip Pullman. Oh. The Golden Compass. The Subtle Knife.
Yeah, I guess those.
Spyglass.
His dark material.
Yeah.
Alexa Sharp.
like they all had their own little like.
Right. So it's their own.
Running around.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound real though.
No, it didn't feel real. It was. I was emceeing it, and I was like, there's
mad.
Too much to comment on in the room.
Like, where is that?
It's in Camden.
Oh, London, is it?
Yeah.
Now it explains it all.
Wow.
Camden, isn't it?
And yeah, that's true.
All bets are off.
My first joke, no, it's not my first joke. We spoke about my first joke. I have told Danny this in the last sort of month or so, and it's not good. This is when I first started. But it was about, I learned how to, like, you know, some martial arts, there's a martial art where you fight in the style of animals. Have you ever heard of that?
Probably. No, but I can picture it.
I can't.
But I said... It was, but I'd learned how to fight in the style of an owl. And then, you know, when you go, ooh, as in that's not scary, but then that's also a sound of an owl. So, ooh, ooh.
So that's not the sound I associate with an owl.
This sounds like
a twit, twoo.
a joke that you would like, you know, when you have a dream and you wake up and you're like, I need to write this down, and then you look at it the next
and
day.
And in the dream, everyone's laughing. Yeah. No offense, but your joke was shit. But it's okay because it's about 15 years old. That joke.
I used to have.
It's not even a joke. Really.
I used to have post-it notes for that purpose. Wake up, write it on the wall.
Did you?
It's so insane. Like how that's a universal thing that comedians do.
Mm.
That you're like, wake up, and then it's always. Have you ever written a good joke that
no,
way?
No, when you read it the next morning, like that, yeah, it's not even a joke.
There is one.
It's barely words.
There's one in the history of that happening to me that actually did work as a joke when I woke up. And I can't remember what it was, but I see it on my memories on Facebook every so often. And I always remember it sort of that happened. But it's very rare. It's like when you get drunk, and I used to write jokes when I'm out, when I used to drink. And then when I'd wake up in the morning, they would make no sense at all. Yeah. They'd be rubbish. Yeah. Like, have you ever thought of
anything? Yeah, I look at my notes sometimes, go through my phone notes, and anything after like 11 o'clock at night is pretty much guaranteed to be fucking rubbish.
How do you, what's your process of writing? Because you're working on your first hour, right?
Yeah.
How's that going?
I
love that.
I mean, so I've been like doing a work in progress for like a year now.
So you did that in Edinburgh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for 10 days, which was really fun.
That's perfect,
I had such a nice time.
Where did you do it?
I did it Cabaret Voltaire.
Oh, nice.
Which is a good location.
Big room, isn't it?
It is a big room.
Is that the one where there's two rooms next to each other?
Yeah, there was basically the problem is there's like no doors separating the rooms. So the noise bleed is
And there's
insane.
A small room there as well.
Yeah.
Well, which one were you in?
The big one.
Yeah, okay.
But you go down
at 12:30 PM.
Yeah.
And it's like a proper like club.
Oh.
And I'm like, let me tell you about my butthole. But I had a really good time. I feel like at that time as well.
If it works, if you can get it working then.
Yeah.
It'll work anytime.
Yeah.
Did it get busy?
Yeah. I mean, it was like an 80 seater, but I had like a decent amount of people in every day.
Yeah.
It wasn't like sold out every day.
I see your stuff pop up on Instagram every so often. And what's the worm thing? Because everything, so it's worm in progress.
So I called it worm in progress.
Yeah. What's the worm thing? Because I keep seeing worm come up.
I don't really know. Like, you know how everyone just calls them, work in progress.
Yeah.
And then I just got obsessed with those worm memes that are like, would you still love me if I was a worm?
Okay, didn't know what that was. Okay.
Yeah, and then so I just called it worm in progress.
Have you heard of that, Danny?
No, of course I fucking haven't. I've got a clue. I don't really know what a meme is, and I'm not even joking that much.
Really?
I guess it's like a picture.
I mean, it's just writing on a picture.
Writing on a picture.
Yeah.
I tried to write a joke
about...
Can
you put it like that?
Is this a good idea? I was going to put up... Just during my show, just show lots of memes that I've made.
Mm.
And then after just be like, I know what you're thinking for this show. It's just meme.
Yeah, I like that.
Is it good?
I think memes should be in everything. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's just because you like memes, not because you like the
idea. I think that's great.
Yeah? Because that could kill a lot of time in a show. But that's generally, when you're trying to write an hour.
By the way, that is a good tip there for writing an hour, yeah. How much time can you kill without telling jokes?
Yeah, I've got a projector for that.
Amazing. Because the memes, I'd need a projector for memes, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like tech. That's the trouble. Yeah, I feel stressed out with tech.
It was hell doing tech in like a world of progress.
Because the thing is, I think with a show... If you've got tech, you need to know that you can do it without the tech as a backup.
Yeah.
Because then you're knackered if it goes down.
Yeah. It's not good.
How reliant are you on it in your show?
I mean, some people have said, like, why do you need that? So I guess not.
No, but I think it adds... But it does add to a show. Danny always uses PowerPoint.
I try and move away from it, and then you get too close to Edinburgh, and the time's running out, and you think, right,
but not just that.
Let's open up a PowerPoint.
You'll come up with an idea that only will work with a PowerPoint where you need to see something big, and then it's like, do
that
I do...
That is also the trouble, is if you're looking to build club comedy...
That's
not
true.
Necessarily you are, but if one is, and then it's a PowerPoint piece... Then that's out the window as soon as you leave Edinburgh, which is a sort of a consideration, I guess.
Yeah.
As well.
I guess what I find funny about PowerPoint, like just using a like that kind of like visual thing is like when it's like a thing, something that is so stupid and you've like gone to a huge effort demonstrate it. Like,
I'm a big fan of that, actually.
Yeah. Like, the main thing I use it for is to like talk about how obsessed I am with Candy Crush, and it's basically like...
What level are you on?
Well, I had to delete it.
Oh, was it a problem?
It was a problem,
was
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. And now I can only play like colouring in games because I can't play anything that's like really addictive in that way. Like, really? I was spending a lot of money on it.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Oh, wow, that, I didn't know you could spend money on it.
Yeah, you like buy extra cherries or whatever, lives. Or...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So what, go back to the worm thing.
Okay.
What does that mean? Would you still love me if I was a worm?
Yeah, it's just like there's loads of...
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
There's loads of stuff about worms at the moment. And I just and I just really relate to the worms.
As in actual worms?
As in like...
I think I need to see one of these memes. What is the meme? Someone's face on a worm?
So it's just like... It's basically, I think like on Twitter, someone was just like, there's every girl... has asked their boyfriend, like, would you still love me if I was a worm?
And does that mean an actual worm or you look like a worm?
Well, surely the answer is no then, isn't it?
Well, I think that the point is more that it's like, would you just love me in any form, in my, like,
yeah,
true,
do you love me no matter
form,
what?
Which is more what it's about.
Okay, so when you just sort of haven't washed for a few days.
Worms haven't got faces or anything, though, and they can't speak, so...
Well, it's kind of open to interpretation, right, yeah. I guess.
Am I overthinking it?
Well, the more that you ask me about it, the more I realise I don't know what it is.
I quite like how they're grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
Undergrounded.
Yeah,
it's underground comedy.
If you cut a worm in half, it makes it two worms, doesn't it?
They carry on living.
Is that a myth?
I think that they just don't lose their nerves for a bit, so they keep moving, right? I don't think they actually become two worms.
God, I'm just thinking of all the worms I murdered as a kid, thinking I was doubling them. Oh, no.
You thought that's how they reproduce.
You thought you were, like, helping the worm community. Yeah.
Okay, well, how do worms reproduce then?
Oh, that's a good... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Lay eggs? Who knows?
Absolutely
I don't know.
No idea.
I'm going to make a PowerPoint about this.
How long do the worms live for? Surely your show was all about worms, no?
No.
Nothing.
Well, this is the annoying thing is people were coming being like, is this about worms?
Shall I tell you what?
Yeah, now I'm calling it silkworm.
Okay, so you're actually going to stick with... Is Edinburgh going to be the finished thing?
Yeah, this year.
Amazing. Have you got it all sorted? Do you know what you're doing?
Kind of. I don't know. I'm happy with how it's going, but it doesn't feel obviously finished. I don't think it will ever feel finished.
No, it doesn't. And even when you're in Edinburgh, even when you do a tour, you keep noticing things that you change. Yeah. Like, I've got jokes that I've now shifted a little, like the rhythm, and they work so much better now.
But I feel like it's such a hard line between like making something feel finished and like practicing it loads and like taking it to loads of things and also getting bored, because it's like once you get bored of your material.
How are you finding the transition from short set to long set, being up there for an hour?
I think that because I was like really keen to write an hour show, so I guess I started pretty early, and at first I found it really difficult, but I kind of feel like it's more relaxing.
Yeah, because you're up there, because you can't really hide when you're up there for a long amount of time.
And also, like, there's an investment from the audience in you.
Yeah.
Which is, like, more pressure, but also, like...
More reward.
Yeah.
Because they're there. They're there to, you know, and anything that's not... Because sometimes with club sets, sometimes you feel like you have to be punchy or straight off the bat.
Yeah.
But you can allow for ideas to develop a little bit more, I think, in an hour. So you've been doing a few work in progresses. Have you got some bits that you've been working on that you haven't quite got right?
Yeah, I guess that like...
Look at this, you've got a notepad. I love it when they're
I've been
nice
doing
and prepared.
My homework.
Also, it's a notepad that's nearly finished.
Yeah.
That's good, because I'm terrible for starting a notepad and then getting a little way through and then buying a new one, because I like it when I start fresh.
Oh, really?
It's really bad. It's a waste of paper.
I have got a new notepad, which I'm really excited to start, because I've only got a few. This motivates you to write more jokes.
Yeah, right. So the only reason you said yes to the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm finding at the moment that because I've been writing stuff to go in the hour, I mean, it's like a, I guess like you want to be punchy in a shorter set, but there's like kind of, it's like the new stuff that I've been writing relies so much on like callbacks to the hour. Mm. It's kind of feeling quite impossible to try in like a shorter thing.
Got yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
Which is really annoying. Like,
so you have to do an hour to be able to work on these bits.
Yeah, I guess like to be able to...
Because for me, I just, because I'm one-liners, I can, what's nice is I can slot bits in anywhere. But if it's a, if it's the structure I want to try or tweak, then you can, I can only do it when it's a, like a full, you know, work in progress.
I mean, it's really like an interesting kind of change, isn't it? Because it's like, if you, like you start by doing like 5 minute sets, 10 minute sets, and then like once I started doing the hour, I realized everything was just so unconnected because it was just like things I was really sure of that were just like a 5 minute set all like stitched together.
Yeah.
So I guess then now it's like trying to figure out what all of like the narrative and stuff is.
Yeah. So you're going to have a narrative, are you?
Not really. I don't want it to be
but it's good if it's there, but I don't, I think when it's forced, it just ruins the flow of it. It just feels crowbarred unless you're really skilled, I suppose. But
that's interesting you say that because that is what I'm doing at the moment.
Well, when I did my first, when well, I did you, Pressure Point, when I did my first show Pressure Point, like for most people, their first hour is all the material they've pretty much got.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
So to find an umbrella almost.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't
say, give it a feeling of shape.
But then that's not a narrative, I don't think. You're talking about like high blood pressure and stressful things, and then you're just talking things that make it stressful. That, to me, that's not like a story narrative.
Oh, okay, you're talking there's a difference between like themes and narrative.
I think so, yeah. So like a theme, that's fine because that's just a way of structuring and slotting it together. That doesn't feel forced to me. It's not forced because it's all about the same thing. But I think it's when you're forcing it into a story.
Well, I basically like I'm starting the show by being like, this show is about how hot and talented I am. And that's like the only thing that you're allowed to think because like I don't believe
so that's a theme.
Yeah. And then everyone goes like, I thought it was about worms. Yeah. And I'm like, no, it's about how perfect I am. And then everything, so it's like kind of a I'm like, it's not, this show isn't open to your interpretation. Like, so I guess it's kind of anti-narrative in that way.
Right, got you. Yeah.
And then the whole thing essentially is like, I'm a perfect girl. And then all of my stories are obviously like horrible and disgusting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess that's kind of it.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That's great because that's a way of slotting in decent bits of stand-up. But it's not like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
By forcing,
that sounds like a thematic thing where you're just
giving
it an overarching shape.
Yeah.
Which over 50 minutes, seems to make sense to me.
Yeah. So what bits have you got down that you?
Okay, so I was thinking I've got a couple of things that have stopped working.
So they were working. Yeah. And have they stopped working in the hour or just in general in clubs as well?
In general.
Right. Wow. What are they then?
So, I have this thing about being a tragedy pervert and like basically about like surviving the apocalypse and not wanting to survive because the only people who are going to survive are like men who cycle as a hobby. And I think that the more apocalyptic that things feel, the less people find it funny.
Yeah.
So it's,
how do you mean that's in life in general?
Life,
or when it's, you think that's what's twist turned it?
Because I think it's
too
like
real now.
I guess it's like me saying I'm a tragedy pervert and I'm like obsessed with like looking at the poses people died in Pompeii.
No, I like doing that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
But people sometimes are really like, me too. Or sometimes they're like, that is so out of order.
When I say like,
I don't mean like, but I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah. So, but,
I mean, I guess it's like that thing. I guess a lot of my comedy is like reliant on, like, you know, we are all tragedy perverts. Like, true crime is literally everywhere. But sometimes I think people are more happy to admit to that than others.
So do you think they're not buying into the idea now of being a tragedy pervert? Or is it this specific example?
I think that could be a good idea. That's a good title.
Tragedy pervert. Show.
Tragedy pervert. Actually, you know what that is? That gets attention, that, doesn't it?
That's very, very grabbing.
Yeah. Tragedy pervert.
Not silkworm.
Silkworm, the tragedy pervert.
Yeah, silkworm tragedy pervert is a lot better than silkworm, isn't it?
Tragedy pervert. I mean, it's...
Silkworm... If you put a poster next to each other and one said tragedy pervert and one said silkworm, I'm going to see tragedy pervert, I think. Because it's intriguing.
Thing about this is we're talking to Nick Hellman, a podcast. I say recently, it was today, but it won't be today.
It was a couple of weeks ago. Or in a couple of weeks, depends how this goes.
I said to him, we came up with a name for his show, didn't he? He said it was good. I said, but the press is already out for the name of the show.
Yeah.
Until you register it at the Edinburgh Fringe, do what you... Yeah.
And you can also change it till quite last minute, the title.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Until you get your posters printed, you never... You know,
I find it's good to ask lots of different people their opinions and just get a general...
Tragedy pervert.
I don't want us to ruin your Edinburgh debut just because on a whim. We're quite tired today. We've already recorded 4 podcasts.
The view said, you know, it's all great apart from that title. Do you think cost of the nomination at the Edinburgh Comedy Awards?
So when did that just stop working? So it was working consistently in the clubs. And was it around the time when you started doing an hour? Have you changed how you do it? Or where you've put it?
I feel like it used to be like my A material.
Mm.
And now it's like I would always do it in a 10 minutes.
But is your other stuff just better now?
That's true, yeah.
Because I've got, I've mentioned this on a podcast before, I think. Like my opener that I used to do, which was my get everyone in the vibe. Always worked, doesn't work in my set now because my rest of my writing's just got better. So can happen.
So yeah, I never even think about that. I always think like, if something old isn't working anymore, it's because I've got bored of it, so I'm not delivering it.
I think
right.
Sometimes that can also happen.
Yeah.
Is that you just lose the heart.
You lose steam and they can feel it.
They can, the audience can sense it, yeah.
Are you sticking it in a different place in a set? Because that can make a difference as well.
No. Actually, you know what? I've been doing
also, sorry, just if it's not working, don't call your show that. That's just for, don't call your show that if it's something that's not really working.
Call the show my worst joke.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's where it's going because I've been like doing a lot of material about just having realized that I'm like bisexual and like getting my first girlfriend, and so that's quite like personal and
so maybe it's not connected enough.
Yeah, and then I think
yeah
I can't remember where I'm putting it.
That can happen because you're sort of taking them down one route and then all of a sudden
we're talking about apocalypse.
Yeah
That's Mark's a big fan of the apocalypse. We always have this discussion. He thinks it'd be amazing to try and survive.
Really? To survive?
Yeah, he hasn't. I mean, he hasn't thought it through because he hasn't even got any, like, a crossbow.
Why?
Yeah, but I know. But Danny's got a crossbow. So
so much here to unpack.
You don't want guns.
I've not met anyone who wants to survive the apocalypse.
You don't want guns.
As in, I don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
But you said it would be exciting.
If it happened, you would want to live.
Yeah. You know what?
I'd like to take me out fucking right away.
No. I mean, it depends. Is there radiation? I don't want to, I don't want a horrific death grat slowly.
But eventually, there will be.
But if it's all okay and there's a few people dotting about here and there, I'd just like to experience it, I think. I'd rather just see what happens.
Just go paintballing for an afternoon. Essentially, it's all it's going to be, isn't it? It's avoiding getting killed.
Yeah, but is it?
Yeah.
It's never happened. How do you know? How do you know that's what's going to happen?
Well, have you
that's
just what films any films say.
Yeah, but why are films correct? How do you know that's exactly what's going to happen?
Oh, what? So you think it would be like everyone working together?
Yeah, Mark, the unicorns and lollipops and fucking rainbows.
You're like, I think I would feel really connected to everybody if there was an apocalypse.
No, I don't know. I mean, even if there's no one, I don't know. I'd just like to see it. I mean, if I don't like it, I'll just get a gun and finish it all.
Where are you going to get the bullets from, though?
what do you mean where I'm going to get bullets from? There's loads of guns with bullets in that no one will be using.
So naive.
People are going to be stacking up guns.
They're all dead.
You run out of guns so quickly, Mark. That's why crossbows are so important.
Do you have a crossbow? We must talk about this.
Because of the potential.
Previous listeners will know. It was there during the pandemic, when the pandemic started.
And Danny had a breakdown.
I didn't have a breakdown. It was, actually, we live in East London, making no comments about East London, other than the fact that if you wanted to nick my toilet roll, you'd really, really need a shit. That's all I've always said about it. And they deliver two by mistake.
So he's got two crossbows. One for each hand.
So in the apocalypse, would you leave your crossbows to Mark?
No.
Why?
Well, because you would be. You said that you would kill yourself instantly.
Oh, good point.
Where's the crossbow?
I don't know. That's a different. Would you be able to put a crossbow bolt to your head and pull it?
I'll do it for you.
Yeah, that's sorted then.
If you really want it.
What else you got?
Crossbow to the head.
How do we get onto that?
But men, about the cyclists, men cycling for hobbies.
So how many of those bits did you have that stopped working? Or was that just. It's just a general bit, is it?
It's just like a general kind of like. I feel like there used to be really regular lot. It's not like people are like completely against it.
Yeah.
But it used to be like I would be able to really tell exactly when the laughs were coming.
Mm.
And now they're just few and far between, if at all.
So irritating.
That's so annoying.
Yeah, it's so weird. Annoying.
But what will you do with that? Because are you like, well, I'm going to write more and get rid of it? Or are you going to keep... Because you like literally putting it in different places in the set and even a looser connection of... So you say you've just discovered that you're bisexual, you realised or whatever. So can you link that into the apocalypse? Like, I want to do things before the apocalypse. I want to find... Do you know what I mean? If you can create a link somehow, then maybe it's not so jarring when you move on to that bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there is something jarring about it, which is probably... goes for all of my material.
But the thing is, that's why with previews, it's so important just do so many because you'll do them and then you'll just be driving home or on the train and suddenly it'll just come to you why that didn't work there and a link or a connection. So many times I've had big ideas and then it's all changed in a night and I've gone, oh no, that's not it. This is the route. So I just think you have to go up there and do it loads and loads.
Yeah. I mean, that is the best thing, isn't it, about doing comedy is when you have those epiphanies. So satisfying. And usually mine are wrong. your epiphanies really satisfying.
Are wrong. I always like the idea if you have an idea in the shower and then you can do it that night if you want, if you know.
Mm.
Right. Yeah.
If that's what you're talking about.
No.
No. Epiphanies as in
after the show, you've worked out what the show is.
I see what you're saying.
You suddenly just realise what it is and
right.
The route, the change of, you know, the angle.
The process, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Or it can also be a thought in the shower.
It could be a thought in the shower. Do you write in the shower? I've never come up with an idea in the shower, I don't think.
No, now. I mean...
You talk to yourself in the shower.
I do, yeah.
So is that how you come up with things?
Potentially, yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Sometimes I find if you just put yourself in a position and pretend you're on stage and just start talking, things can come. I used to do that a lot.
In front of the mirror when I started.
When I run through my material before a gig, always you saying it and you think of something that you could.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. If you put yourself in that zone.
Mm.
So what else have you got down?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so I have this bit about being in debt, because I'm in debt.
Right.
I'm in debt.
In a comedian.
But basically, what I think is really funny is, like, that I, like, don't... Basically, I talk a lot about, like, things feeling, like, emotionally true to me. And it's, like, emotionally, I'm a star. And that's my reality. So you just kind of have to accept that. But that it's basically taken like a lot of therapy for me to like admit that I'm in debt, which is insane because therapy is so expensive.
Oh, that's funny.
That's a really good joke.
Yeah.
But then I want to say,
does that work? Have you got that as a punch and that works?
Yeah, that works.
That's great.
But then I say like, that I don't, I think it's hard, it was hard for me to admit because I don't like identify as someone in debt. Like, it's like, I don't think I suit being in debt, basically. Because I think like Bernie Sanders, yeah, definitely looks like he's in debt. Whereas I think I just am like, if I'm in debt, it's like, oh, I was too fun, you know? It's like silly because I'm a... Well, kind of a middle-aged woman, but in my head I'm 15 and I'm doing really well. So I guess like every time I do that, I think it's just like a bit of a jump to like ask people to imagine Bernie Sanders suddenly.
Yeah, right.
Or like...
He's probably a couple of years behind the...
He's not in the forefront of people's minds.
Not anymore, no.
Is there a better example?
Of what? Someone who looks like they're in debt?
Yeah, like who is in... people's minds.
Like, I swear there was a character in The Simpsons who was in debt and he looked so classically in debt.
But is there like a really rich person that looks like they're in debt? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be good.
Like, who's the guy that does the Tesla? He looks a little bit disheveled sometimes.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, does he not? Or is there anyone like that?
He acts like someone in debt. I'm just going to put all of my money into destroying Twitter. Yeah. Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that might be an angle.
Mm.
It's like literally the opposite.
Yeah, it's like I suit this more than you. It's like when you see like someone
it's
wearing...
quite hard to convince them to swap.
Yeah.
And it's that way around.
Yeah, it's like when like someone's got like someone close to you's got a really nice new item of clothing and then like you can't wear it.
Mm.
And you're like, that's annoying because that would have looked really good on me.
Much better on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you go into it. That first bit works, and then it's that next line that doesn't quite hit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so the whole thing is like, I say that at the start that I'm like unemployed and whatever, and then I like admit, like at the end of the show, basically that I like work in tech, but. Because I'm in debt, I have to be working in tech.
Hmm.
And then I go into like that. And then, I say like that it's just like important like to me to give myself like 100 little treats a day. I know what I say. I say like I don't believe, like I wish I was in debt for like an exciting reason, basically. Like, yeah. I'm not in debt because of like gambling or medical bills.
No.
I'm in debt because I have to buy myself like 10 tiny little treats every single day.
And vapes every day.
And yeah, exactly. Vapes. That's what it is.
Vapes.
It's those damn vapes.
It's literally vapes, one a day.
I don't know if that's a lot, but where you're saying that, it seems like it's a lot, is it?
It's unnecessary. That's what it is.
Have you tried to cut it? I've never done any drugs before.
you've done 41 minutes without vaping.
I did vape a couple of times.
Oh, did you? Wow, yes. Surreptitious vaping.
I got so good at doing it.
Yeah, really good.
I mean, I've been looking at YouTube for the whole 40 minutes and I genuinely did not notice.
Really?
No.
I've been vaping, I know.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you want to go into like you want to go into why you're in debt and you know as a
is yeah.
Because that as a baseline, that first thing you said is really solid. So it does feel like there's something you can really build on there about why you're in debt and the things you do.
Yeah.
So is this a fairly new bit you're experimenting with?
I've really only tried it in the longer show.
Okay.
Yeah, I think...
But something like that, you could go to a new material, five minutes, and just say, I'm not doing any of my old stuff. I'm just going to talk about debt.
Yeah.
And just go and make that the theme of that mini set and just see what you can get out of it. Try and...
Yeah. I did actually do it, I think, once at like a 5-minute thing, and this girl came up to me afterwards and she was like, I was just telling my friend at dinner that I was in loads of debt. She was like, I'm 10 grand in debt. And I was like, oh God, I really want to be this person for you, but I'm actually in less debt than that. So sorry. But I was like, also...
But that's quite funny.
Yeah. It's also funny to be like, we just went for dinner and now we're at a comedy show and I'm in... Because that's the headspace of it, basically, is that it's like, I am in so much debt, but I need these things to survive. Like, I need these enjoyments.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm trying to think what emotion you spark in the room. So, like, is it reminding people they're in debt, which is negative, as in their mood, or is it... they're relating to you, you're trying to put a positive spin on it, or it's like, we're all in the same boat, it's not just you, it's everyone. So that's a positive kind of vibe, isn't it?
Yeah,
and maybe I think it's how you deliver positive. It as well.
But yeah, maybe it's too mean to be like, if you're old and disheveled, you look like you're in debt. Maybe that's alienating.
I mean, maybe.
Great, so you're going to be in Edinburgh?
Yeah.
You don't know when yet or what time.
No.
But do
it's a bit early anyway, isn't it? It's only November, mate.
That's true. But I'm just trying to think.
It feels like
I want to plug it. Have you got any anything
coming
up?
I've got a lot of work in progress is coming up.
And that'll be on your social media, which is?
Yeah. Sarah. Oh, my gosh.
What's your name?
It's... I can't remember if I've got Jane in it or not, because I'm a Sarah Jane. Sarah Roberts _69.
Edinburgh's great, but fuck me, doesn't it ever hang over you for the whole year?
I know, it's insane.
And I always do this. I go, okay, it's December. I go, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. Ah, 9 months, right, no worries. And then it's like, then they'll get, it's like 9 weeks, it's 9 days. And it's like, you know, it constantly, fucking all year.
Yeah, it is stressful. How are you finding it?
That's what I was doing before this. Yeah. I was in a meeting about Edinburgh.
Oh, with like a production people?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Yeah, good.
I'll tell us after.
Yeah, I'll tell you after.
So check Sarah out on social media. Sarah Roberts _69. Is that all your social medias?
Yeah, I think I've done them all.
Yeah, like brilliant. Yeah. Excellent. Look forward to seeing the show.
Danny Ward Comedy for me.
Danny Ward Comedy. And I am on tour all of 2024. So do check it out. Oh, I'm going to Australia February until May, and then New Zealand until June. So if you're there, look me up and check out the tour at marksimmons.co.uk or Jokes with Mark on social media. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. And remember, be more Gareth. #Awooga.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.